Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach this morning on the rest of God, R-E-S-T, the rest that God has provided for His people. And when I get to the text, you need to understand this. He quotes some Old Testament here, and so many Old Testament saints, they missed this rest. They didn't understand really what God was speaking of. And I'm convinced in the day that we're living and the complex and complicated and busy lifestyles that we all have, there are many in the family of God, New Testament Christians, born again. Blood bought, all their sins forgiven, got a reservation already in heaven, name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have no idea what the rest that God provides for His people, what it's all about. You think it's all about the sweet by and by, and that's going to be a wonderful day, but there's a rest that you can enter into right now, and that's what I want to preach here this morning. I trust God will get a hold of your heart. So many people, they think it's just about living and dying. I just got to put my time in here on this earth and then I'll finally get to God's heaven. Some people think it's about just making it. It's not just existing. How many ways I've tried to preach this over the years? It's about thriving. It's about living under the spout where the glory comes out. It's about dipping into the barrel that never runs dry. It's about getting up every day on fire for God and ready to live for God. You got another day. This is the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. You got up this morning. This is another opportunity in life. Man, don't blow it. Don't blow it. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to read some scripture. Everybody standing. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. I didn't read that right. Let me do it again. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Father, we're going to stop right there, and God asks for your blessing. Please take over now in this service. Do in our lives what needs to be done. I pray for anyone here that kind of feels like they can't go on. God, would you revive them? Help them to set their eyes on Christ. Fix their eyes on things from above and off of the problems of this world. Some perhaps here this morning are discouraged. God, would you please just speak and build your people? And if there's someone here not truly born again, we pray for their salvation this very morning. Take over now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Say, Pastor, it kind of sounds like you're going to preach a melancholy kind of message. That's not my intention. Not at all. A lot of times after big victories, and we've just had some, there's a valley. That's just the way of life. That is the way it is. You get up on the mountain and things are real good, just like we sang for our choir number, 2 weeks ago, and all is good and it's easy to praise God. But at the edge of that mountain, at the edge of that mountaintop, there's another valley, and you go down into that valley. And I want you to know the God who led you into the valley will lead you out of the valley. Don't leave the Good Shepherd. Allow Him to direct in your lives. Please. And it was a big day last week. Man, and some of you are still tired from that day because it was exhausting. We had probably 600 plus people here on Monday night. No probably about it. It was. We had every chair set up we could fit in the foyer, in the auditorium, everywhere, and it was packed. And that wasn't even people. There were in other parts of the building and people still out in the Heritage Building. And God just immensely blessed. God came down. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. I want to say it in this message again. Thank you, Fundamental Baptist Church, and all the glory goes to God. This is a working church. Man, there were 20 turkeys roasted. There were all those homemade pies, all those chairs and tables moved back and forth, all of the preparations that went into it, all the special music. God met with us, and he met with us every single hour. And right from the beginning of the day, the parking lot started to fill up about 1:30 in the afternoon. Just like we prayed, the sun was shining, God blessed. People were greeting one another, shouting across the parking lot, some in mock jest of one another. I'm talking about preachers now. You know what was cool about the evening service? It wasn't just preachers coming from other churches. There were people from all over Michigan. There was a preacher here from Dayton, Ohio. There was a preacher here from Kenosha, Wisconsin. There was a preacher here from Wyoming. You know, they come from all directions. And then on Thursday, Pastor Bill and I, Josh had to teach school, somebody had to stay behind. We went down to the Great Lakes teachers meeting, six states of Christian schools meeting together. There were 970-some Christian school teachers there. And we had the Michigan Association of Christian Schools, the state board meeting was there, and that's why I went down. But they were buzzing about old school down there. Yeah, in a fancy hotel in Kalamazoo, Michigan, they were buzzing about what went on up way up in the far reaches of the north in upper Michigan. All the glory goes to God. All of it. A lot of times after those big days, you know, we got people took off this weekend. They're gone. You know, they've gone. Pastor Bill is one of them. He's over preaching at Brimley Baptist Church this morning. But, you know, everybody kind of went off in different directions, and everybody's just a little bit tired. I want to encourage you. You know what? I'm going to try to exegete the scripture here, and if I don't do a good job, I'll tell you what it is. Jesus is all you need. Jesus is still the answer. Man, you need to run to him if you've drifted. You need to turn to him if you've gotten away from him. It says here in verse 7 of chapter 4, let me read a little bit. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice and harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into this rest, into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor or endeavor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The title of my message this morning is simply this. And I still haven't gotten to the text. There's hope and there's help. You aren't going to have to go through this life alone. It might be I'm preaching this morning to some hurting, exhausted, single parent. And you get to the end of the day and you're spent. I want you to know there's help on the way. Maybe a teenager thinks they're unloved and they feel abandoned. There's help. Might be a working dad who has more bills than he has money at the end of the month. And he has a sense of hopelessness. There's help. Perhaps a family that is dysfunctional. Seems like they spend as much time arguing as they do breathing. And they're tired. There's help. It might be that you're an elderly saint up in years. At night, you sit alone. You feel abandoned. There is help. The text that Pastor Josh read, let's go back to that very quickly. Hold your hand here in Hebrews in chapter 4. Look at Matthew in chapter 11. Verse 28. I heard a gospel song I'd never heard before from a pastor, a friend, Daniel Cox. Gave me the CD a long time ago. I never listened to it. He's kind of a hymn historian. The song was written back in the 1870s, entitled The Lifeboat. I've listened to it a total of, in the last week and a half, probably four times in my automobile. Every time, I start weeping. I don't remember the words of the song, but it goes like this. We're on the stream of life. Sometimes the waves get overwhelming, and we start to sink. Comes to the chorus, very eloquent, and comes to the chorus and yet pointed. Kind of the thing you'd hear during D.L. Moody's day. Comes to the chorus and it says, cheer my comrades, cheer. The lifeboat is on the way. I thought, wow. And you know, life gets tough sometimes. It isn't always easy. Listen to the words of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Man, do you work? Do you labor? Are you laden down with burdens? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Man, that's a good sounding word. Rest. During the day, I actually look forward to my bed. I look forward to that because it's a nice, soft bed. And in my bed, I can kind of say goodbye to all the problems of the day. And I'll actually be working during the day and think about my bed, and it brings a smile to my face. There's a rest that remaineth for the people of God. Now, I know that's also talking about heaven and heavenly rest, but it's also talking about a rest, a peace, a strength that only comes from God. He says here, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. We are made to work. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There's that word again, rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know the best place to live is right smack dab in the center of God's will for your life? You think, man, I'm too busy to serve God. You're too busy not to serve God. You need to put God first in your life. You need to put Jesus first in your life, and then you'll know rest. That faith that is unfeigned, like we talked about in Sunday school here this morning about an hour ago. Just a simple love for God. A rest that trusts the sovereignty of God, knowing He is a heavenly Father and He watches over us, and everything's going to work out for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. You can't bail enough water out of your boat to stay afloat. Man, you've got to just trust God. You can't do it in your own strength, with your own labor. Learn what it is to just simply trust God. Enter into His rest. Please, I'm trying to help you as a New Testament Christian. Some of you are carrying burdens you're not supposed to carry. Some of you have turmoil and heartache in your life that if you would lay them at the foot of the cross, man, you would find that the God's yoke, that Christ's yoke is just like He said. It's easy. What a way to go. It's still a yoke. There's still responsibilities. But man, when you're in the gospel harness and you're pulling your weight, God takes care of all the difficulties. He takes care of all the troubles. Even in a storm, you can know the peace of God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 11, I already read. He says, let us labor. And that word there means to endeavor. You don't work for salvation. You don't work for rest. You endeavor, therefore, to enter into that rest. And he tells us in this passage, and again in this verse 11, that you enter into that rest by faith. By faith. He says that he comes through the back door here and says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then he tells us there's hope in the Word of God. There's help in the Word of God. Verses 12 and 13, not my message. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, a two-edged sword, goes beyond my thinking, goes beyond my mind, and goes right down into the heart. And then verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows. Now I come to my text. That was a pretty big introduction. I have 4 points here for the text. I'll not belabor any single point. We're going to fly. Everything is good here in the Word of God, and I just want to give you as much as I can and allow the Holy Spirit to connect, and you hang on to what God gives you this morning. And He's given you all of this, but you hang on to what you can comprehend and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You get to the end of your rope, tie a knot, and hang on. Jesus Christ is all that you need. You will make a mistake if you turn your back on God. Amen. You will make a mistake if you take your hand off the plow, if you quit on God. You will make a terrible mistake for your entire household if you throw in the towel because times have gotten tough. Man, you run to God. I want you to understand this morning, our great high priest is someone who understands. 9 times in this passage of Scripture, the writer of Hebrews refers and uses this word rest. Kataposis is the actual Greek word. I don't speak Greek, but I want to impress people from time to time. And I read the books, all right? It actually speaks of a rest, a peace in the midst of turmoil, labor, storm. There's a rest that the world doesn't know anything about. A peace where we're sheltered in the arms of God. You ever go to a funeral and wonder how they're holding up? How can that family hold up? What a tragedy in their life. What an unexpected death. And they're pointing people to Christ. How do they do that? It's that rest that only comes from God. That peace. Here's why you can be at rest. Number one, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That word touch there actually is a word that speaks of sympathy with the feeling of our infirmities. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, lived for 33 years in this world. He knew heartache. He knew hunger. He knew disappointment. He knew pain. He knew what valleys were. Deeper valleys than you and I will ever go through. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, take this cup from me. Speaking of what was about to happen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew. He understood. He understands the feeling of our infirmities. We have a great high priest. He knows. You say, man, nobody knows what I'm going through right now. I'm telling you, Jesus knows what you're going through right now. He understands your heart better than you understand your own heart. He knows exactly what you're going through. That's one of the things that makes him a great high priest, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on your behalf and in my behalf as well. We have a great high priest. That's why I can be at peace in the storm. Man, I can't captain the boat, but I have a captain. He knows where he's going. I have no control. It's out of my hands. The waves are just throwing us back and forth, and the waves are coming over the edge. And man, where are we? But I have someone in the boat that's the God of the storm. He's the creator of the storm. He's the creator of the water, of the earth. He's the creator of the boat that I'm in. I'm okay because he's my great high priest. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Would you turn over there, please? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. I love preaching the Bible. I love preaching the book. And I was thinking about this and talking about one of my preacher friends last week at old school, after old school. And, you know, sometimes I think it'd be great to be an evangelist, give my 7 candy stick messages and just travel the country and preach the same messages over and over because the truth is I'm not a great student. You know, I think I could pull it off, but I thank God he called me to be a pastor because I get to preach messages like this. I get to help people right where they are living. I know in a crowd this size this morning, man, there's heartache. I know there's difficulty there this morning. I know some are maybe you haven't even shared it with your wife or your husband. It's a single burden that you're carrying. And I want you to know that we have a great high priest. Look at 2 Timothy, or rather 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You're never alone. You have a friend. You are never forsaken. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have a great high priest. I'm trying to build and get to these verses right here at the end of chapter 4 in the book of Hebrews. We have a great high priest. He's our mediator. He is our advocate, the word of God says. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Would you turn over there? 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. You see, the preacher isn't enough. I can't be with you all of the time. I'm not always there. I'm seldom there to answer any questions. You can do a whole lot better than this preacher. You've got a mediator. Verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, a go-between with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He paid the price for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate. We're never alone. Jesus knows, and Jesus cares. You've got the Word of God. You've got the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. As a New Testament Christian, he lives within you and seals you. He's always, always with you. You've got the God-ordained New Testament local church with all of its warts, with all of its imperfections. It's that called out assembly that God has gathered together out of this area. You're not alone. You've got the Holy Word of God. You got the family of God. Man, if you were here last Monday night, you heard a rendition, a preaching, some exegeting of the scripture concerning the Good Samaritan that I've never heard before. The inn being the local church. Title of the message, "We'll Leave the Light On for You." What a powerful message. Wow. Then a man stood up on Wednesday night that doesn't come to this church and said, "Thanks for leaving the light on." Speaking to the church, the people at the church. Man, what a great God we serve. Please, you're never alone. But you know what's better, the best part of the whole thing? We have a great high priest. He knows. He cares. Don't have time to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He's the God of all comfort. 1 Peter 5, 7, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He knows. You see, he's omniscient. He knows. He's been there. Go back to Hebrews 4 again. Hebrews 4, verse 15. It's not surprising that he's been there because he is omnipresent. He is deity. He is God. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He's been there. He knows. He cares. You're hurting. The last verse is the solution. We're going to read it in just a moment. But before we read it, please understand this. God knows exactly what your family is going through. God knows exactly the heartache and the insecurities that you have in your own being. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, the prophet said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." That's everybody. We all know what it is to wander. We all know what it is to get a little bit cold. We all know what it is to take God for granted and afterward get right and feel so convicted you get right with God and get all cleaned up again. Man, we've all been through those ups and downs. Don't use it as an excuse. Don't ever say, "Oh, it's my turn." Don't go there. Be so fixed on Christ that your gaze will never come off of him. "All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone onto his own way." We're prone to wander. Sheep, prone to leave the shepherd. Prone to make a foolish decision. Prone to be stupid. Again, I quote that great theologian John Wayne. Life is tough, and it's tougher when you're stupid. And that's true in the family of God. It is. How many decisions I've made in my life. Afterwards, I look back, one word to describe it. Stupid. Just stupid. How could I have done that to God? How could I have turned my back after all he has done for me? Man, he deserves everything I have and more. If I had 1,000 lifetimes to live, he deserves every single one of them, and it still wouldn't be enough. He's done so much for me. Go back to Hebrews in chapter 4. One last verse, verse 16. Here's the offer from God. And I want you to know before I read it, for every true born-again child of God, the best is yet to come. And I'm not just talking about heaven. That's very true. Big double amen. But in this life, you say, what if it's persecution? The best is yet to come. You would never know how good God is if you never had tough times in your life. If you never had a valley, you'd never know how much you're loved. The best is yet to come. Last week, I believe it was Wednesday, I was back and forth between all these buildings all the time. School was going on, people in the mission building, something usually going on at the Heritage Center, office over here. And besides, somebody's got to drink that coffee in all those buildings. So I'm back. I go between the buildings all of the time. And I went over to my house, opened the garage door, and I opened it up, and there was a little pudgy boy, new boy in the school. I shouldn't have said pudgy, all right? Sweet-looking little kid. He really is. Ball of energy. And he looks around in my garage, which just got cleaned in the last month, so I kind of feel kind of good about it. And he looks around in my garage. He's standing outside my garage. I'm standing inside my garage. I still got my arms in there. I just lifted up the doors. And by the way, that door is too hard to lift, buddy. If you can adjust that. I just point that out right now, all right? But I got that up in the air, and there's little Joey. And he looks up at me, and like a big-time adult. Now, I think Joey's, I don't know what he is, second grade, third grade, something, first grade. Maybe even kindergarten, I don't know. But he has his arms folded like this, and he's looking around, looking past me, says, "So, this is your little house." I said, "Joey, this is my little house. You're not supposed to be over here right now. This is out of bounds for you. Now, all the school kids, you got to stay on the other side of that fence over there, you know." But a little house. Some would look at it and say it's not much. I love that house. Debbie loves that house, I think. The best, it's just the beginning. I'm not going to spend eternity there. The best is yet to come. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. Think about that for a moment. I'm almost through preaching. What right have you got you to come? What right do you have to come before God? What right? Who am I that I could enter into the throne room of God with my puny little requests? And who am I that I have the audacity to think that God owes me something? But because of Jesus, because of a great high priest, here's the deal. Man, this is a good deal. This is new lives for old, riches for rags, life for death, help in the valley, shelter in the storm. Boldly, come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Mercy, I'm not going to get what I deserve. Grace, I'm going to get what I don't deserve. Again, that word grace speaks of living grace. It's written to Christians. You see, you can make it. It's living grace. It's strength for the journey. It's stamina. It's faith to go on for God. So my brother or sister, if you feel like you can't go another step, if you feel like you're at the end of the rope, you hold on. Look up. There is help. You can come boldly into the throne of grace. And before that throne, because there you'll find a great high priest, you can find grace and you can find mercy. I'm glad I get to be a pastor. I'm glad I get to share that with people that I love. And if you're here and you're not born again, your biggest need is the forgiveness of sins. Your biggest need is that you would become a child of God by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you call upon Him today, He'll save you. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how to do that." I'd love to help you.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.